Good morning. Welcome. Well, let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the worship this morning, Lord. You really are worthy of it all. From you are all things and to you are all things. That is true, Lord. And that's what we're here to say this morning, is that you're worthy of everything, worthy of our lives. Worthy of everything, Father, that we have, that we call dear to us. It's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. I pray that you help us be able to relinquish things to you, Lord, that we don't want to relinquish. That you give us the kind of heart, Lord, that knows that you can deal with them better than we can, Lord. Our things that are special to us, Lord. Help us to be able to give it all. Because you're worthy of it all. I pray that you bless this meeting and bless this message. I pray that it comes from you and not from me. And that you bless your people, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I missed last week, and I was thankful for Jack being here to take the message, Jack Redwood. And he's always willing and to get up here and share it, and so I'm thankful for that. And I was thankful for George Wafula again last week coming, or 2 weeks ago. Were y'all all here for that? Was everybody here to hear George? I haven't stopped thinking about the decorative pillows since he's come. So what a great analogy. It's such a great analogy. He told me, he said, that word came for y'all's church to me. And he really felt like it was specific for us. He didn't preach that everywhere. And I thought it was just a great analogy. It made me think. He said, you know, how much that everybody in the body of Christ has a gift. And none of us should be the spectator or the one that's the pillow that's laying on the ground that nobody's using. It's funny when you brought that up, I'd never really thought about that. Of course, I've always wondered why we had so many pillows on the bed. But to only use one and not want to be the guy or the pillow laying on the ground is just such a great analogy. But he's right. Everybody has a gift here. Every single person has a gift and it needs to be given. If you don't know what your gift is, you need to ask God what it is. And then you need to come and bring it every Sunday. But not just every Sunday, every day. The gift is for the body, but it's also for the world. The world needs your gifts. We need your gifts. So bring your gifts. But I just loved having George here. That brings me to my sermon topic today, and it's titled Giving All. Giving All. I could have titled it Committing All, too. How many of you know God wants it all? He wants everything from us. He doesn't want just our 5 minutes in the morning with Him. And He doesn't want just our Sunday meetings. He wants everything from us. He wants our lives in every aspect, every circumstance, everything that we love, like I just prayed. He wants all the things that we hold dear. And He wants it all. Every aspect. He wants your heart, your mind, your soul. He wants your relationships. He wants your addictions. He wants to heal you from your sin. He literally wants every part of us. And He wants you to give it to Him. Anything that is uncommitted to God is dangerous. I want you to ponder that for a minute. Anything that you have in your life that is uncommitted to God, that you have not given Him, is dangerous to you. And your family, and the people around you. Sterling and I had a great lunch this last week, and we were talking about commitment. And we're talking about commitment to the church, and just committing in general everything that we have to God. And one of the things that we were saying is, we were both talking, and we were saying, I want to commit in a certain area of my life, but man, if I commit there, it's going to just take so much out of me. And we've been saying this for a while, both Sterling and I. Every time we have lunch, we seem to get back on commitment. Commitment to God. And it's not just about the church, but commitment to God in all things. Our businesses, our relationships. And as we were talking this last week, I felt like revelation came in our lunch meeting. And I asked Sterling, I said, you know, I was thinking about it. And I said, we always question whether or not we can commit to this or not and how much that would take from us. But I said, I felt like God showed me something the other day, and that was, can you afford to not commit everything to God? And I said, and why do we think that if we commit to God something, that it's automatically going to be difficult? I said, I feel like that this has been something that has been a deception in my life a little bit to some degree, that there are certain things that I don't want to commit to God because I think that they're going to be really, really difficult if I commit them to God. It's going to take all my time. But God's showing me that anything that I've committed in my life thus far, the grace has been poured out, and it's been so much easier than I ever dreamed it would be. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I was thinking about when I first got saved, and I remember when Marty Coleman, my old friend that brought me into the kingdom of God, he was asking me for months and months and months to come to church. And in my mind, that was coming to God. You know, I was lost and I was partying and drinking and just being a fool. And every time, the reason that I didn't want to come was because I thought, my life is so screwed up and I'm doing so many wrong things. It's just going to be so hard, so difficult for me to straighten my life out. So I resisted God. And I ran from him constantly, all for the sake of just, because I just thought, it's going to be so hard if I commit myself to God. I'm going to have to quit drinking. I'm going to have to quit doing this. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to quit dipping or whatever. Whatever it was I was doing. So I felt like I was tasked with the burden of changing my life. But how many of you know that I wasn't tasked with that? What happened in reality is I came to God and he changed my life. I didn't have to work hard at it at all. Like, in fact, it was silly. It was almost like a dream. I remember telling Lee, after I first started coming to this church, 6 months later, I remember looking back and telling Lee, I said, I haven't drank in 6 months. And it hadn't even been a thought. I literally had not even thought about it. When we give something to God, when we commit something to God, the grace flows. It's like a river, especially when it's something that is really important to you or really difficult. You feel like you're just not going to be able to overcome. God says, give it to me and I'll prove it to you. I can make it perfect. I can make it beautiful. In fact, the only hard thing about committing to God, or I should say non-committing to God, is that medium period where you're sitting there just saying, I know that he's calling me to do this, and I'm not doing it, I'm resisting. And that's the hard part. That literally is the hard part. I'm praying the Holy Spirit will help y'all to understand what I'm trying to say here. I know it's a little bit vague, but resisting him is difficult. Paul said it's hard to kick against the pricks. Anytime that we know there's something that God wants us to commit and we don't, something that he wants us to give and we don't, we withhold it from him. That's the difficult stage right there. And how many of you know is a heart posture more than anything else? Giving to him is a heart posture. There's some things that are really, really big that you don't want to commit to God because you think they're going to be terrible. And sometimes I think that God says, give it to me in your heart. I might not even take it from you. You don't know. You don't know. But whatever it is, he makes it beautiful. Whatever you give him, think about your past. Think about anything that you've given God in your life. Has it become worse? So then why is it that we're always scared to give him everything? Why is it that I'm scared to give him everything? Well, the scripture I want to read with this comes out of Mark about the rich young ruler. So let's turn to Mark 10, 13, or let's see here. I think I changed it. Mark 10, starting verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man came to him and fell on his knees before him. And he said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimonies, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I love that scripture. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again. He said, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. Basically saying, what are we going to do? I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. For many of you are first, who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This scripture is in 3 of the 4 Gospels, so apparently it was important to God for us to have this story / parable. It's a good one. It's very relatable to me, and it's very relatable to all of us. How many of you know we're all rich? We're all rich in this room. In America, we all have something to give up, something that is worth a lot to us. But it could have been anything. It didn't have to just be wealth, financial wealth. Christ saw this guy. We'll just start from the beginning here. I want to get a few points from this scripture. So this guy was a believer. He was coming to Christ, and when Christ told him, he fell at his feet. So he was doing something good. He was after the right thing. He wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think that's the only kind of words he knew. I think he was really talking about trying to enter the kingdom of God. I'm guessing that he had heard of Christ, he was coming to hear him teach, and he wanted to know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? So he had a good, demeanor towards coming to Christ. And then he fell at his feet in front of everybody. So he was a believer like us, and Christ said that he loved him. He said, you know the commandments. He said, obey your mother and father, don't murder. All the things. Don't commit adultery. And I think the rich young ruler was excited when he heard all that. He was like, I've done all these since I was a boy. Good news. I can do it. That's it. The first thing that Christ gave him, he had done them all, and he was excited about it. But how many of you know Christ looks a little deeper? He said all that, and then Christ looked a little deeper into his heart, and he saw something. See something in there. It's a problem. It's a big problem. He said, you got a lot of money. You got a lot of money. You've accumulated a lot of wealth. And he's a young man. I don't know how he got this money. He doesn't tell us. But he said, you got to get rid of that. It's holding you back. It's holding you back from being able to follow me. I have a feeling that the rich young ruler knew that he had this problem. I have a feeling that he knew. And he was hoping that he'd get by without it. But he went away sad. It's a sad story. But I was thinking about how many times have I went away sad because I couldn't give God something in my life. Like I said about my story when I first got saved, I learned that lesson that anything that I give to God, when I gave that first time to God, I gave him my whole life. There wasn't anything else I could give at that time in particular. And I learned that he was faithful and good to me. And he didn't take what I gave him and destroy it. He took what I gave him and made something out of it. made something beautiful. He gave me a wife and children. I mean, the list goes on and on. He gave me everything that I love in this life. And yet I still struggle 26 years later to give him everything. Why are we like that? Why do we withhold from the one who created us? Why can't we commit to the God that loves us and knows us better than we know ourselves? We have so many stories of his faithfulness time and time again. I have written in my journal. I read it every once in a while. And I say, one in particular was when we tried to have Wyatt and we couldn't have a baby for 2.5 years and we finally had Wyatt. And I wrote in my journal, I said, I'll never doubt you. I will give you everything for the rest of my life. I was 25, 26 when that happened. The next journal topic, which was like 6 months later, I was like, oh, woe is me. I can't. Will you not ever give me anything more? Just human nature. Why do we withhold anything? Why can't we commit things that are dearest to us? Charles Simpson used to say, you should write a blank check and give it to God. I remember him saying that so much. And let him do whatever he wants with your life. And man, that's just so hard to do, isn't it, sometimes? But he's faithful. He's faithful. The rich young ruler could not give the thing that he loved the most. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. And that's just the straight truth. And even after all that, he went away sad. And Jesus loved him and wasn't trying to embarrass him in front of these people. He was trying to help him, just like he's trying to help us when he's saying, give us everything. I thought it was interesting to think about that almost everything in life is better when you have money. I mean, like, you know, at least in the world's, you know, eyes and our eyes too, for that matter. Wealth is a good thing, typically, except for this area. Jesus said it's really hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. And again, I want to remind you, we're those people. We're those people. We have a lot of stuff. The older I get, the more I accumulate, and the more I don't want to give to God, it feels like. Or the more I have, it's harder to give, isn't it? The older you get. But he wants it all. Like I said, it could have been anything for this guy. It could have been his reputation. It could have been his status that Christ was asking of him. He could have been addicted to something that Christ... It just happened to be his wealth. But what is ours? What is yours? What is the one thing that God is asking you to commit to him that you're withholding from? There's always something, it seems like. I think the rich young ruler was scared to live without his money. I think he didn't know what it was going to be like. And he didn't trust God enough. He didn't trust Christ enough to give it to him. Bear with me. I got so far on my notes here. Like I was saying with my lunch with Sterling, anything that we withhold from God becomes a thorn in our flesh. And we have to be able to give everything. And what I mean by everything is your workplace, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with this church, your finances, everything, everything. He wants it all. And any time we resist, it's going to cause real problems. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Let's turn over to that real quick. Matthew 11. We'll be wrapping up here in a minute. Matthew 11, verse 27 through 30. Y'all still with me? Alrighty. We're going to finish here in just a minute. Matthew 11. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. 27 27 through 30. Christ says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary. This is the song we sang this morning. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's the truth. So anything that you give to him, it's going to be easy. He's going to make it easy for you. He's going to, if you yoke up with him in any circumstance, your life is going to be easier. Even if it's harder in the flesh, it's in the spirit, he's going to make it easy for you because he's with you and he's walking with you. Again, anything that you don't give him is not going to be yoked with him, and you're going to struggle and you're going to fight, and it's going to be very, very difficult. Everything we've given him in the past, he's made beautiful, and he makes all things beautiful and perfect. We can't afford to not give him everything. We can't afford to not commit to him all things. And like I said earlier, everything uncommitted to God will become a thorn in our flesh, and it's doomed to failure. Anything that you don't commit to God will fail ultimately. How many of you know he can deal with our issues much better than we can? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he knows you better than you know yourself? You believe that he loves you and he wants to help you in all things? He wanted to help the rich young ruler and he just couldn't do it. Don't be like him. Give him all things when he asks of you. Christ gave everything to us. God gave us everything in his Son. He withheld nothing from us. He gave us his very life, his blood, his lifeblood. He gave us all things. He came and lived for us and died for us. He didn't have to do that. He did it. And in return, Christ says, now I want everything from you. I want everything from you. Let's give him all of it. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He'll deal gently with you. I want you to hear me. I felt like this was something that God specifically wanted me to tell you. Whatever it is that you're afraid to commit to him, he will deal gently with you. He's not going to rip you apart. That's not who our God is. He's going to deal gently with you. And he's going to do it differently than what you think he's going to do. It's going to be way different than what you ever thought. Just like when I got saved and I turned around and I said, man, I didn't have to change anything. He did it for me. He'll deal gently with you. The scripture says, not even a smoldering flax will he put out. He's gentle. He's kind. And he deals with you like a son, like a son or a daughter. Gently. But you have to give it to him. He will not take it from you. He will not take it from you. You have to give it and be willing to give it all. And if you do that, all of the worry and the lukewarmness and the frustration and the stress of wondering whether you should or shouldn't will all go away, and you can rest in your spirit. Amen? Amen. Well, stand with me. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your words. I thank you for these stories, Lord, that help us so much. Father, I pray that you help us to give you everything. I pray that you help whoever's in here that is struggling with committing something to you in their lives, that you let them feel your presence now. The Holy Spirit will come into them, Lord, and begin to work in them and show them that if they give it, you're going to bless it, Lord. You're going to help them with it. You're going to walk through them hand in hand and gently deal with whatever it is, Lord, that they're withholding. I pray that you help us to be a people of giving our lives to you in every area, Lord, for your glory. I pray that you help us to trust you, Lord, and to remember your faithfulness of old, Lord, and how many times you've been there for us. So this topic is not, there's nothing too big for you. Whatever it is, Lord, that we're withholding, it's not too big for you to heal and make new again. We love you, Lord. You are the great healer. Bless your people, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.